Welcome back, Mary. I'm calm, professional female, and today we're turning our attention to Marcus Aurelius, Roman emperor, Stoic philosopher, military leader, and the author of one of history's most enduring collections of personal reflections. Marcus lived in the 2nd century, at the height of Roman imperial power. From the outside, his position might seem almost unimaginable. He commanded armies, governed a vast and diverse empire, and carried responsibilities that affected millions of lives. Yet the writings for which he is now best known are strikingly private. They reveal someone repeatedly reminding himself to be patient, disciplined, fair, and calm in the face of frustration, uncertainty, illness, loss, and the pressure of public duty. Those writings eventually became known as the Meditations. They were not composed as a polished philosophical treatise or as advice intended for a modern audience. They were personal exercises shaped by Stoicism, a tradition that emphasizes reason, virtue, self-command, and the distinction between what is within our control and what is not. That private quality helps explain why the work can feel unusually direct. We encounter not simply an emperor issuing commands, but a human being trying to govern his own reactions. A general overview of Marcus Aurelius, therefore, has to hold several perspectives together. There is Marcus the individual, raised for leadership and drawn toward philosophy. There is Marcus the emperor, confronting war, political responsibility, and instability across Rome's frontiers. And there is Marcus the writer, whose thoughts have traveled far beyond the world in which he recorded them. It is also worth approaching his reputation carefully. Later generations have often presented him as the ideal philosopher king, but admiration should not prevent us from examining the complexities of imperial rule or the distance between philosophical ideals and political realities. Understanding him means considering both the appeal of his principles and the difficult historical setting in which he tried to practice them. As we begin, keep one question in mind. When a person possesses immense authority over others, what does it really mean for that person to seek mastery over himself?